Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now we begin this morning with the news that Children's Health Ireland yesterday announced this external review into aspects of orthopaedic paediatric care at Temple Street Children's Hospital. CHI also published a review into some surgical outcomes. The external review arises from very serious concerns identified by CHI since last year relating to surgical outcomes in spinal surgery at Temple Street, plus the use of certain spinal techniques and the use of unauthorised implantable devices. Well, our reporter Brian O'Connell joins me now. And Brian, families in your report yesterday, they were calling for this external review, weren't they? Explain why.
Yes, well, issues began to emerge in relation to paediatric orthopaedic care several months after the government committed significant additional resources and demanded improvements in waiting times and in outcomes in 2022. This resulted early in 2022 in a significant spike in the number of surgeries which were being performed, and many of the more complex ones were performed at Temple Street. I'm told surgeons were performing these very complex surgeries at a rate that few other surgeons worldwide were at that time, and some of the clinicians themselves, it should be said, they weren't happy with an internal review and they asked for an external evaluation given the level of post-operative complications. There were, we know, two serious outcomes post-surgery, one of which unfortunately resulted in a fatality following multiple procedures. Now, both patient groups and frontline clinicians, they had flagged concerns around post-operative complications and care. Some of the concerns included access to ICU and high dependency beds, staffing levels, access to theatre to address post-operative complications when they arose shortly after the surgeries began to increase. Separate to this, Claire, as you said, an issue was identified around an unauthorised device being used in some surgeries. Essentially, these were springs which were developed for a very small patient group, and it's accepted now it was a non-medical grade device. The question is whether this device went through the proper procurement process, whether there was an awareness it was a non-medical grade device when it was installed, and if not, how did it make its way through the internal processes onto the operating theatre and ultimately into children? There was an assumption, as I understand it, that it had gone through the proper procedure. Because of this, some surgeries, as we know, have been paused completely in Temple Street. We know one surgeon is not performing surgeries at present, and a referral has been made to the Medical Council.
Now, Brian, regular listeners to the programme will know that you have been following the stories of children and families who are dealing with scoliosis for a long time. You were talking to them over the course of the developments in the last number of hours, and there's a lot going on for them, and this news will have really shaken those people.
Absolutely, and advocates were fielding calls all day yesterday from parents and patients. I've asked the HSE this morning, will they consider setting up a helpline, which is something that families are calling for. I'm waiting on a response for that. So what all of this has meant is that families are wondering when their future surgeries may happen, and children who were on lists already waiting for years are now facing possible further delay. I checked back in with Amanda Coughlin-Santry and Una Keitley. They're from the Spina Bifida and Hydrocephalus Paediatric Advocacy Group, and they want more information and they want better communication from Children's Health Ireland.
The families want to know what has been uncovered by these reports and what has been improved or what is still outstanding.
Were ye aware as advocates that there were a lot of patients returning with complications after surgeries?
Yeah, we highlighted this in June 2022 in a letter to CHI, a letter that we also forwarded to the Minister for Health, stating that we had concerns in relation to the post-operative complications that were being experienced by our children.
Was it clear to you why there were so many post-operative complications?
Yeah, it was lack of proper planning. The other thing, Brian, is that the post-op rehabilitation and the post-op care was very poor. People weren't able to access even wheelchairs in the community.
There was a massive increase in the number of surgeries that were done, and there was a much higher volume of work done in that time period that without the extra resources.
In relation to the implant, what are the questions that you and families that you're talking to have?
How could a non-medical device arrive on a theatre floor? How could it go through the procurement process, the CSSD sterilisation process, through the pre-op checklist process, and end up inside a child that it was not recommended for?
we need to know where the failure was.
While these reviews are taking place, we know at least one surgeon isn't performing. That is going to have a significant impact, isn't it, on children and on families that you're engaged with?
Absolutely. We need a transparent review done, full disclosure, open disclosure, following the national guidelines as set down within the HSE policies. We need to know how this has happened, why this has happened, and how this isn't going to happen again. The main focus has to be a child-centred approach to the care of what's deemed the most vulnerable cohort. These children have been failed consistently and repeatedly, and that's not acceptable anymore.
That's Amanda and Una. Now, Brian, we know there's this external expert who has been tasked with conducting a review, but then CHI yesterday, they published their own review.
Well, what they published essentially was a combination of two reviews, an internal review they conducted and then an external review by experts from Boston that looked at surgeries over a number of years. Now, some families were quite surprised that the external review wasn't published in full on its own. The Scoliosis Advocacy Network called last night for this to happen, and for the review that the CHI announced yesterday with a UK expert, that just relates to Temple Street. They're asking that it would be broadened across all CHI sites. Families I've been speaking to were also taken aback that some of the recommendations that were in that review yesterday weren't already in place. And I suppose it's really highlighted to many a sense of overall system issues in this area, and they want the review to be broadened as a result. The review yesterday, for example, talked about identifying a clinical lead for orthopaedics, establishing an operating theatre governance committee, better collection of data, encouraging full MDT participation in decision making. I mean, these are all things families said they would have assumed were already in place.
Now, Adam Terry is someone who will be familiar to our listeners too, and people might remember that his mother, Christine, advocated to get surgery for Adam here on this programme 2 years ago, and she talked to you last night about post-operative care.
Absolutely, because I think sometimes from the outside looking in, people want to think it's one surgery and that's it. But often, partly because we've allowed children's conditions to deteriorate so significantly because of the long wait times, there's a lot of follow-on care needed. Adam, if you remember, got his surgery 2 years ago, but he did require a significant amount of post-operative care. I began by asking Christine Terry what she made of yesterday's announcements.
My mind automatically goes to those children still waiting for their surgeries. I know that children with spina bifida have a tougher time recovering from surgeries, specifically scoliosis. I don't understand why that is. It's, to be honest, Brian, I really feel in my heart and in my gut as mother that it's the really long waiting times for children specifically with complex medical needs. Yes, they're watched for years. You know, my own son in particular was watched for 9 years. Why do they let them go to such a state?
In your experience, Christine, was the post-operative care in place? Were the ICU beds, the high dependency beds, were the staffing levels adequate? You know, was all of that in place when you came out of surgery?
No, it wasn't. You know, to go through that surgery is so hard. And the recovery is, the recovery, would you believe, is 2 years, Brian. And oh my God, it'll be 2 years in October since Adam's. It absolutely takes the children 2 years to get over it.
Would you be happy to contribute to any external review that's taken place? Has anyone contacted you, for example?
For some reason, Crumlin are not included in this, which I'm one of many parents that is asking the question, why are we not getting the same? I do know a lot of children who had post-operative sepsis. I do know children who had post-operative infections. The whole thing is just completely mind-boggling, and I cannot imagine what was horrendous 2 years ago is now twice as bad, and that I just cannot get my head around. Like, why is that?
It's Adam Terry's mother, Christine. And how is Adam doing?
Well, I suppose many of the issues being flagged by families relate to this post-operative care and complications. And Adam has had several complications over the past 2 years. And as Christine said, they're not going to be included in this current review because they were treated in Crumlin and it isn't part of this external review now. They're just focused on Temple Street. I did ask Christine how Adam is doing over the past 2 years, and this is some of what she told me.
These children need so much support after the surgeries, especially from a mental health point of view. PTSD is a huge issue with these children. And unfortunately, we're still trying to access a proper therapist to actually deal with the PTSD. So can you believe 2 years on, that still hasn't been addressed, and I'm still fighting to get that.
After we spoke and after I spoke to Adam, I know the Minister for Health had contacted you, Taoiseach at the time, Micheál Martin, had contacted you, and commitments were made to families and to patients. And here we are now back almost at square one.
I think it's worse, Brian. I think it's worse. I thought when we got the 19 million, and I do believe the lads thought this too, that it would be enough. The feedback was that it was just a drop in the ocean to deal actually with what they need. We need to go back to the drawing board. We all need to go back and sit down. We need to see what are the issues and the problems, especially with the waiting times. And even care afterwards, you know, it's the aftercare is really important. We're failing these children absolutely horrendously. We're failing them on every level. We have amazing surgeons in this country, and no one doubts the amazing surgeons and what they do. Like, I thought the fight would be for the surgery. I thought, and once we got that, it was like, and then I realized, oh my God, now I have to fight for this. Now I have to fight for this. And what I am questioning is the aftercare.
All right, we're failing these children, says Christine. Still, many would add. Brian, you put some questions about all of this to the HSE.
Yes, just on the issue of broadening the scope, perhaps, of this external review to look beyond Temple Street, Labour Party TD Alan Kelly had said to me this morning that the whole system, the pathways, the outcomes in this area, all needs to be scoped and reviewed and compared to international experience. I did ask the HSE, are there any plans at the moment to extend this review and perhaps look at the system as a whole? And then separately, I did ask them if they intend to set up a helpline, because as I said, advocacy groups are inundated with phone calls since yesterday from parents, and many of the questions they're asking they can't answer at the moment. Just waiting on an update on both of those two things, Claire, and if we get it before 12, I'm sure you can bring it to listeners.
Okay, Brian, thanks very much. Let's go to Sinn Féin's health spokesperson, David Cullinan. And David, you might have answers to some of those questions that Brian put to the HSE, because you've had a briefing from the HSE this morning.
Yes, and first of all, Claire, can I say that obviously there are heartbroken families, and my first thoughts are for those children and the families who are affected by this scandal. And I'm very conscious that any discussion or anything I say has to be in the context of that trauma and suffering. And I don't have all of the information, but from the briefings that I had last night and again early this morning and a number of calls with the Chief Operations Officer for the HSE, it seems that services were suspended at Temple Street a number of months ago. That arose from that internal review that Brian spoke about, and that came about because of concerns that were expressed by other clinicians and staff in Temple Street. And what they found was that there was a larger volume of return to theatre or post-treatment complications than would ordinarily be the case, but also a higher number of infections. And obviously that raised alarm bells and a red flag, and we now have this external review which is now in place. But obviously there are still questions that need to be answered in relation to timelines and when exactly people knew of any of these issues. Obviously what I want is full support for all of the families. We want to make sure that whatever supports need to be put in place have to be put in place very quickly. One of the issues that has been talked about, and again Brian spoke about this in his package, is that we're talking first of all about 19 families who have been contacted, and as I said, I'm sure there's lots of hurt and heartbreak for those families, but equally there are many more families who may not have been contacted but whose child may have gone through Temple Street, and they obviously will be concerned and will have questions. And I had put to Damien McCallion, the Chief Operations Officer of the HSE, last night, would they consider putting in place a helpline? So he came back to me just before I came on air to say that the Children's Health Ireland and the HSE had a meeting this morning and have agreed to put in place that helpline. It isn't yet in place, but it will be in place very quickly.
Okay, so
it will be operated liaison officers.
Right, so that's a new development, and I'm sure they'll give us the details around that. There's just one thing I wanted to ask you about in particular, because Christine Terry was telling us there and explaining that Adam had his operation in Crumlin, but Crumlin isn't included in this review. Have you heard anything from the HSE on that?
No, my understanding is that the external review will deal initially exclusively with Temple Street. And obviously, I would argue that we need to have a wider examination now of all of the services. I'm also conscious, Claire, that there are many, many surgeons and staff and specialists who work in this field across three hospitals. And some of those surgeons have been on your programme, and they are world leaders and experts and have provided first-class treatment to children. So we're talking here about one particular consultant who is no longer providing a service. And obviously, it's unacceptable. It's traumatic for everybody, people's hearts are broken that there may be complications that arose for children because of poor quality of care. Obviously, all of that now has to be examined by the experts that will look at all of these issues. But I would imagine that we do need to look at the totality of care that is offered, because how many times have we had discussions on your programme, in the Dáil Chamber and outside the Dáil Chamber, on this issue of treatment and services for children with spina bifida and scoliosis? We've had many, many false starts, many setbacks, many promises, many broken promises. But ultimately, the service is still not at a standard that we would expect, both in terms of waiting times, but also all of the aftercare and the full range of treatment that children need. And obviously, that has to be now part of the review.
That seems to be a huge problem, that you throw money at the surgery part of this, but then the care that you need to put in place afterwards, that doesn't seem to be happening.
No, and it's really important, and it's a really important part of the care, because anyone that understands these procedures will know that spinal fusion surgeries are really complex. It's heartbreaking for any child to have to go through such complicated, serious surgery. It's life-changing when it happens. But obviously, the level of aftercare and the level of support that's needed is obviously huge. And for any parent of a child, you want the child to have the very, very best care. Your heart will go out to any child that has to go through a serious procedure like that. So I would argue all of these issues have to be looked at. And I was actually on your programme during the summer months as a consequence of an FOI that I had tabled on the wider issue of capacity, because if you go back to the promise that was made by Simon Harris that no child would have to wait longer than 4 months for these procedures, that
was
never
in
materialised.
2017, wasn't it?
That was in 2017, but I did speak to people that were centrally involved in putting in place the plan at the time that would be put in place to reach that target. And one of the pieces of that was outsourcing to specialist clinics in England, in Germany and France. And obviously it's not ideal, but it was offered to parents, and I think almost 30 children would have been seen. That was stopped or ceased well before COVID, and no reason was given. So given now, and I should also say that what I was informed that all services are now being done through Crumlin. So all services at Temple Street in terms of specialist spinal fusion surgeries have now been ceased until further notice in Temple Street, and will all be carried out in Crumlin. So that will place huge pressures on capacity and on the service. So anything that we can do, including looking abroad, now needs to be put on the table very, very quickly.
Okay, so I was going back last night and looking at some of the pictures of the children who are still waiting, and it's still heartbreaking. And I just can't imagine how they're feeling today, you know, knowing that this suspension is now going to continue while the reviews are happening, notwithstanding what you say about surgeries continuing in Crumlin. And I just wonder how difficult it would be for those families and those children in particular to face going to the UK or going to Germany for surgery, knowing what Christine Terry told us this morning, that it takes 2 years to fully recover from this. Like, is that the right answer here?
Well, I think the right answer would have been 7 years ago when we had got commitments to put more capacity in, that capacity would have been put in this state. What's ironic in many ways is that the fifth operating theatre in Temple Street that we all have been campaigning for so long will actually be fully opened in a couple of weeks' time, but won't be providing now these complex surgeries. And that's a real letdown, because that was going to be additional capacity. So my first priority, Claire, is obviously that we have the capacity in this state. And I've never said it was easy to get that capacity, because you need specialist consultants and surgeons. They are difficult to recruit. So there's no magic formula. But at the same time, it's 7 years on since a commitment was given, and it seems that we haven't put the capacity in as quickly as we should have. Mm-hmm. But what I would also say is that I can't look a family in the eye or a child in the eye and say that, well, there may be options abroad, and some families may take it, some will not, that option won't be available to you. It's got to a point now that it's a real crisis. We have services now stopped in Temple Street. It was already a problem with long wait times. It's really traumatic for families involved. And I suppose what needs to happen is that there should be engagement by the Minister for Health with the advocate groups. And he needs to listen to those families, like the ones you've had on your programme, who've been through the services. Listen to what they're telling him and then put in place whatever short-term and medium-term solutions that need to be put in place.
Just a quick one to finish. In your discussions with the HSE last night and this morning, did they put a timeline on any of this around when they might resume operations at Temple Street?
No, and it's an answered question that can't be answered. So it's an obvious question I'd asked. So I would imagine, Claire, that they will have to recruit a new surgeon and consultant. They are not easy to get. These are really specialist services, as you know. So I would imagine that that will have to now go out and be advertised as a new post, and it may take some time. So I certainly am not in a position to answer that question. And that's why I'm saying that every option now has to be on the table, including the option of outsourcing. It's not ideal. It's far from perfect. But, you know, we are now at a crisis point where we have two hospitals. Obviously, Kappa still provides a level of services, but it's quite small in number. The bulk of the surgeries will now be carried out in Crumlin. And obviously, that's going to create real pressures on that service. As I said, engagement with the stakeholders and the families is what the Minister needs to do.
David Cullinan, thanks very much for joining us. Sinn Féin Health spokesperson there. And Brian has those questions in with the HSE. If we get any more information, including information on that helpline that David Cullinan has been told will be set up, we'll bring that to you. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.